I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people to worship you. We ask, Lord, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be glorified in and through our lives. We don't often understand that, but that's your plan. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that knows you not as Savior, that they would see their need, even today, that you would give them the conviction that is needed to understand that need. Bless the service, Lord. Again, may it glorify and please you, and may it edify us and be a blessing to each one. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, This Thing Which Has Come to Pass. This Thing Which Has Come to Pass. We might have an idea of what this thing is that came to pass on Christmas morning. I think every child of God would say it's the birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has come to pass to fulfill the promise of eternal life to all who will receive him.
But I also want you to think about this also. There are things that God is doing even today in the midst of the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were things that he was doing in the midst of his physical birth some over 2,000 years ago now in Bethlehem in the lives of other people that were there as well. And so I want to consider a couple of thoughts here. I want you to notice the glory of the Lord, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. Then there was God's message, and then lastly, we'll look at a move of faith, a move of faith. And so as we consider the story, the Christmas story, the birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things that God is wanting to do in and through our lives. And that is, again, that he might shine his light into the world through us. Isn't that amazing? Not our effort, not our might, but his light and his strength. Amazing, amazing. The problem oftentimes comes because of a misunderstanding, does it not? A misunderstanding. We were discussing a little bit in Sunday school class this morning how the world doesn't understand their unrighteousness. The world doesn't understand that there's none good, no, not one. The world does not understand that even our righteousness before the Lord are as filthy rags because we are marred, not just tainted, we are marred through and through with the sin nature. Now, the Lord has given to us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, that he might be the Redeemer of the whole world and to change our nature from the inside out and to give us his nature. That's why we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That part that you're indwelt with is holy and righteous and will never be marred. By the way, that part of the Holy Spirit quickened your spirit and gave you eternal life and sealed you as a son or a daughter forevermore. Aren't you glad? As we consider this, I want you to understand that God has something for each and every one of us to experience. And God wants us to see that. And oftentimes, we might overlook it. We might get caught up in the celebration and in fellowship, and those things are good, and nothing wrong with those things. But let's not miss out on the Spirit of Christ that he has given to each and every one of us and what he does in and through that. Let me call your attention to verse 8. And I want you to see the glory of the Lord. Look what verse 8 says. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, this is the glory of the Lord. And we watch them. They're keeping watch. And this is everyday life, is it not? These are the things that we need to take care of in everyday life, the regular routines of life. And God comes in the midst of the everyday watch, of the everyday life, and wants to bless your life and mine. Now, I'm going to mention something here, and I hope you don't think that I get my doctrine from what I'm going to share with you here. The doctrine, the only place to get the truth is through the Word of God. But we had a little viewing here. The ladies had a Christmas party, and the men had a Christmas party, and both parties got to watch a little clip from The Chosen, which dealt with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to point this out by way of illustration. I'm not going to tell you anything about it doctrinally, but they portrayed a good picture that I don't even know. I'm sure they did this on purpose, and there's some truth in this, so a very important truth, and that is that there were these shepherds, of course, that were involved in with their sheep, and there was one shepherd that they made sure stood out, and he was a cripple. He was not perfect by any means. They were getting ready to present a lamb without blemish before the high priest, and it was not received. His was blemished. His was marred. He was trying to hear the truth. I don't remember if he was shoved or what have you, but he fell and he hurt his arm, and he heard the preaching of the Word of God. The thing was that he knew he was seeking God. He was asking questions, and they were pushing him off to the back. Be quiet. They were so caught up in religion, they missed the Savior. And so he was looking for the truth, and he goes into the temple. He hears the preaching of the word of God, and he just stands in the entry there, and they zero in, and they notice that the blood is dripping off of his injured arm, and it's dropping on the floor. And long story short, one of the religious people saw him and stepped to the back, and basically, you know, he didn't look presentable and he didn't look right, and he was shooing him, wanting him to go out. Then he notices his blood on the ground, and he's, oh, you know, and he's cleaning up the blood and frustrated with this fella. And then the other shepherds were embarrassed because he brought a blemished sheep, and he goes back at night. And even amongst the shepherd, this one shepherd was discarded and thrown off to the side. They didn't want him to eat with them. You can go out there, eat with the sheep, and you're going to have the night watch. Well, the story, as a story unfolds, the angels come, and all the shepherds go to see what was done. He had an interaction with Mary and Joseph in the marketplace. And they motioned to him in one way or another to come forward, and they put the baby in his hands. And at that very moment, none of the other shepherds were complaining about it. They were all caught up, I think, in the Spirit of the Lord and in worship to see these great things. Brother George, why do you bring that out? Because sometimes we feel like failures. Sometimes, and maybe not, and if not, we ought to consider that there's no righteousness in us. God saved us to give us eternal life right now. He didn't just save us to flounder like the world does. He came to change our lives. Let me ask you this question: can he change the life of a prostitute? Okay, that was about five of us. Can he change the life of a prostitute? Can he change the life of a drug addict? And when we say change, does that mean he can take that away from them? How about our lives? Can he clean up our lives? And then sometimes we flounder in certain sins, and the reason for that is because we're not looking to him. We're looking to ourselves to do better, and we're asking God to strengthen us. And I want you to know that is exactly what God does not want to do. God wants to weaken us, that the only place we can look to is to him and his strength. Has he ever asked a child of God to serve him in the power of their strength? By your power, does he tell them that, or by my power? Do you see the difference? Listen, that is easily overlooked and forgotten, misplaced, or even discarded in our own personal lives, and we just mosey on through life as if that's just the way it is. Instead of realizing, the Lord said, rejoice in the Lord, how often? Okay, don't answer this question. Is that true of your life? Well, nobody can rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, really? See, the problem is we look to ourselves too much, and we think of ourselves too much. And as was mentioned, and I mentioned in the past, because we love ourselves too much. And we forget to realize that God works how many things for our good? Really? Are you sure? Does he work out all things? Then we ought to praise God for what? All things. Now, what we don't realize and what we... Now listen, remember that shepherd was the one that was discarded, but he was the one that was honored. Now, if you're looking at your life and you're saying, yep, I'm failing in these areas, I have hope for you today. By the word of God, he wants to change our path and our beginning in our minds. He wants to change the path that we're on, beginning in our understanding. Because that's what, listen, if we have a misunderstanding, if you're being taught a specific skill and you misunderstand that skill and do something incorrectly, it's probably not going to work. But then when you have the proper understanding, everything fits together. This is so true concerning the Word of God and the work of God in the life of every believer. And that is, it is Christ in you and I that is the hope of His glorification here on planet Earth. Does God want to give us deliverance? You and I can possess salvation and walk in failure because we misunderstand deliverance. Listen, God has to deliver us from ourselves. Listen, God does not want you to give Him your best. That is the truth. If it's all wrong that way. Why is it all wrong? Because we are all wrong. The only righteousness in us is where? Where? In Christ. In us. But ourselves, because, listen, you know what we're looking for? Another doctrine. I want to learn more about the doctrines of the Word of God. No, we need to learn more about the working of the Holy Spirit inside the believer. Or we won't, listen, we can get a lot of, so let me ask you this question, ready? Let's say we get a preacher who's, boy, I tell you what, he can do an exegesis of the Word of God. He's a great expositor. He can go ahead and develop an outline and make everything rhyme and fit in place. But his heart's not right. Will he be a vessel for the honor and glory of God? Is it possible to understand the doctrines of the Word of God and heart be wrong? Did David understand the doctrines of the Word of God? He even knew the Holy Spirit, did he not? But he still sinned with Bathsheba. May I tell you why? Because he was doing that which was right in his own eyes. Are there others that have ever begun to do something for the Lord and did it in their own strength and because they, listen, I know this, and it ought to work this way, and bless God, this is the way you ought to do it. Well, I want you to know that there's no way that we ought to be doing anything but only God in and through us. The biggest thing we do is, listen, this is the truth, we get in God's way. How do we get in God's way? Because you know what? God can save the prostitute just like we talked about. God can save the drug addict just like we talked about, but boy, oh boy, He'll never do this in my life. He'll never clear this sin in my life. He'll never give me the victory. He'll never enable me to overcome. I want you to know that's ourself. And that shell has to be broken in order for the Spirit and our spirit, the Holy Spirit and our spirit, to come forth and fulfill the will of God. But it can't do that because we've got too much pride. It won't happen. But I want you to know God wants to change our lives. And what better gift to give the Lord Jesus Christ than to let Him have His way with us. But here's the problem. We don't understand it. We think the Word of God is just a history book that all I've heard it before. Oh no, listen. Then we've missed the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that comes out and touches us and awes us and brings us to the place of worship. It brings us to the place that we might humbly walk before Him every day, not just on Sunday. Because if we're not careful, we've got so many of our plans, and then things don't go right, and we have quenched the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is not coming forth and touching the lives of others. Do you know that God wants His Holy Spirit to not only touch your life, but to touch the lives of your loved ones and your own family, but also to refresh the spirits also of God's people in His house? And not only, listen, when the Spirit of God, and by the way, I mentioned this here just recently, when you look in the New Testament, you'll see reference made to the Holy Spirit. And the word spirit will be in lowercase. And many theologians and many translators, even when the King James was being translated, they couldn't translate it because it meant also the human spirit. And so they would put a lowercase s, but it also meant the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is because your spirit and my spirit, that has been joined to the Holy Spirit is so intermingled that you can't tell the difference. We saw today, and by the way, it has the righteousness from God. And that part of us cannot sin. Our soul will sin. We saw today how Paul said, I speak as a man. Was that not the case, Brother John? I speak as a man. But wait a minute, it was put down in the Word of God. He himself didn't even realize that that would be in the canon of Scripture. What does that mean? That means that God wants to work through your life and mine as his Holy Spirit comes out with our spirit, that when we preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God or share the Word of God, it goes forth with power to convict the heart of those that we're speaking with. Why in this day and age is the world not being turned upside down with the Spirit of God in his local New Testament church? Why? Can you imagine? We're blocking them. Because, oh, listen, let me just tell you, this is what you need to hear. Where's God in that? Where's the humility in that? Well, I told him the Word of God, but nothing happened. No, because God won't share his glory, not even with us. So there's a work that God does if we will understand it, and it requires the breaking of the old man or the outer man that the inner man might come forth. You'll find that in the Word of God. He's got to come forth. But wait, you can't break yourself. I can't break myself. It has to be God breaking us in order for him to come out. Now, wait a second. Listen. How does that happen? It happens the day we understand that God works all things for our good. We say that, but it hasn't hit home yet. God hasn't brought it to us. The moment you begin to see God in the people that are mistreating you and doing unkind things to you, that you might be able to be broken by the hand of God. This comes from you, Lord. And you can give him thanks. Lord, I thank you that you are allowing me to see my need of being broken. What do I mean by that? Joseph, his brothers. Do you know he never complained about that? He came into power in Potiphar's house. He gained favor through Potiphar, did he not? Could he have not said, Potiphar, I need to send a letter. I need to send a message to my father that I'm still alive and that my brothers sold me into slavery. Could he not have done that? But he didn't. You know why? Because he got a revelation as a 17-year-old young man from the Lord. I'm going to make you a leader. I'm going to do a work. And so everything, do you think Joseph knew his brothers hated him? He thanked God for it. He said, thank you, God. I trust you that you are in this and you are working this for my good. I believe that, listen, that he maybe even cried out to his brothers, please don't do this, when he was in the pit. I believe he cried out. Psalms bears that out. But yet God said, it's okay, listen, he was working everything out for their good. Why? Because he understood. They meant it for evil. But what else did he understand? God meant. You see how he saw that? If he was full of himself, God would have never been able to come out. God, listen, when the Spirit of God comes out, it does a work of God. So now he gets mistreated with Potiphar's wife. Ever once in the Scriptures do you see him trying to justify himself, or does he quietly go into prison? Because God allowed him, he put himself in a place to trust the Lord to break him. Listen, we all are going to be broken by the grace of God, or we'll be of no use to the Lord. A saved child of God, eternal life by the grace of God, but with no light, no salt. So what happens? Let me point out to you the Holy Spirit. Ready? So now he is in prison. And the butler and the baker come there, right? and the butler's released, the baker's hung, and he says, "Don't forget me." Did he get forgotten? 2 years. 2 years. Then he's brought forth and put into position. Wait, listen. The brothers come the first time. Did he disguise himself? You and I would have revealed ourselves. Maybe to give him what for, or to tell Dad the good news. But he didn't do that, because he was trusting the Lord. Wait, listen. While they were kept, did they not have a little conversation amongst themselves while Joseph was away? Didn't I tell you it is because of what we did to our brother? Why did that happen that time? Because the Holy Spirit came out through Joseph. And the right conviction was brought forth. If God's going to receive the honor and the glory in and through our lives, He must be able to break us. But that will only happen if you ask Him to do that work. Now we'll see what we want from the Lord. Do we trust the Lord to break us? And when somebody does something to us or says something to us that we don't like, can you see it coming from the Lord? Only if you ask Him, "God, I can't even do that. May I see You working?" That's faith. Lord, that is putting the Scripture, not just hearing it, but that is putting the Scripture into our hearts, to where I believe You are working all things, even the things I don't like. When I look at the people that do things to me, I don't see them, I see You breaking me and humbling me, that You might come out. Oh, the flesh doesn't like that. And if that's a struggle, then you'll know and see how strong the flesh is. But this shepherd was so low, he had nowhere to go. These shepherds were broken down. God was doing a work as God wants to do a work in your life and mine. So here they are, everyday life. They're keeping their sheep, and they're watching the flock by night. Then verse 9 says this, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." That's a good place to be. There was reverence there. Listen, may I tell you something? When God reveals the nastiness of our flesh and our self-love, we will be sore afraid of it. We're not afraid of it now. Oh my goodness, let me show you my wit. Let me show you my ideas. We will run from that when the Holy Spirit shines His light. I can make a good argument. Oh my goodness, we will know we will make a mess of that. We will fear that in the very presence of God. We will smell the stench of ourselves, and we'll say, "Oh God, I don't want any part of that." But again, that's a work of God. Verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Isn't that amazing? Here is the glory of the Lord and the message of the Lord here to the shepherds. He says, I want you to know I've got good news. I don't want you to fear. I want you to take notice. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do you see the heart of God? These are Jewish shepherds. He's preaching to the nation of Israel. But I want you to know he had in his mind the whole time the salvation of the whole world, because God is not willing that any should perish. But wait a minute, where does the message go to? Did it go to the higher archy of religion? Or did it go to the lowly shepherd of everyday workaday world? I want you to know he's still looking for that. He's still looking for his people to be in a place of humility, or at least for his people to allow him to bring them to the place of humility. So here's a personal message. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Notice this personal glimpse of the glory of God. This message was given, and notice what happens. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass," verse 15, As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, listen, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Listen, were they ever commanded to go see the babe? Did you ever hear the command, you need to go see the babe? No. Well, how did they get that? It was the Spirit of God working and God empowering faith into their lives. Watch this. Back up with me just for a moment. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Is he born to you this day in your life? Listen. And this shall be a sign unto you. Listen, this is a substantiated faith. God does not want us to have a faith that goes back to our salvation. God wants us to have a faith that goes to today in God's work in our lives, or yesterday in what he did yesterday in our lives. Listen, sadly, believers have to go, oh, let's see, I got saved back 30, 40, 50 years ago. Yeah, that's it. That's an old revelation. Not that it's not any good. But God wants to reveal himself in your life and mine every day. And as he does that, ready? All things work together for my good. That's a revelation. Thank you, God. We cannot thank God for the trials in our lives and for the difficulties. Listen, how backward we are, ready? I'm talking about me, okay, if not you, I'm talking about me. I need patience today. What do I do about that? Oh, don't pray for patience. Because what's going to happen? Trials. Oh, but wait a minute. God doesn't want us to even pray for patience. What? That's me. Long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, all those things. Where are they? Where are they? They're in one person, are they not? God does not piecemeal his gifts to the believer. You don't pray for patience, you pray for Christ in you. That Christ might have his way. Because through Christ, God's not wanting to strengthen our patience. Our patience isn't going to work very long. But if the Spirit of Christ is being released, then the kindness and the gentleness and the patience will be released as well. And we'll be able to see that all things work together for our good. And we'll see God in all those people and in all those things and in all those situations, that he's working those for our good. That's where God is going to do his work. Are you going to have scars? Absolutely. Did Paul have them? Did Jesus have them? The cup of my Father, didn't he say that? Shall I not drink it? That's Jesus. Did he say that? When he was up on, there's only one cup. When he was on the cross, they offered him another one, didn't they? Vinegar mixed with gall to ease the pain. Did he take it? No. Because he drank the Father's cup. Do you see the difference? Until we're willing to drink of the Father's cup, that means our complete trust in him, we'll not see the work of God the way he wants us to see it. So where is this direction given to the shepherds? How did they see it? Verse 11, for unto you, they took it personal, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Ready? Listen. And this shall be a sign unto who? You. God is wanting to show us some things, but we've got to trust him and believe him. So he's telling them, I've got a sign for you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, if you go. If you go. If you trust me and go, you will find it. If you trust him and call upon the Lord and say, God, may I see all things work together for my good. May I place my life, my soul in your hands, and you will work out everything for my good. And that may you bring me to the place to where I don't see people, things, or situations. I see you and I praise your name. Can God do that? Does God want to do that? I want you to know that the very absence of ourselves, putting ourselves into his hands and saying, have your will and way, will keep us from experiencing the things God wants us to see and the things he wants to show us. So, verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, listen, there was never a question that they were going to go. They were so excited. Listen, God, I can't do it and you can't do it for yourself, but God wants to bring you to the place of excitement. He wants a light shining so bright. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations like Paul was, and they kept changing the guard on Paul. You know why? He was winning them to the Lord. He was talking about those that he had won in the palace while he was in prison. The glory of God shines so bright through the apostle Paul, the grace of God, that he was writing letters to encourage believers while he was where? In prison. How did that happen? Well, Paul was, my goodness, oh, you missed the Lord. Paul was nothing. Didn't he say that? And everything he thought he was, what did he do with it? Threw it in the burn heap, didn't he? In the dung heap. The problem is we're too busy holding on to our good thoughts, our good ideas. Oh boy, Lord, I'll tell you what, if we can just do this. And God says, I'm trying to break you. You're not hearing me. That I might, the life of Christ in you might come forward. So what happens? What does he show them? Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Do you think they meant that, or do you think they said it because they were supposed to? Huh? Did they know the glory of God? What do you think the angels are doing right now in heaven? Do you think they're praising God? Do you think it ever stops? What about God's people in heaven? What do you think they're doing? And then we come to God's people on earth. What in the world are we doing? But we don't understand. We got to do this and we got to do that. And these people had nothing to do. These people here, see, because Caesar was so good to them, would give them, you know, thousands of dollars every week to take care of, you know, just if you want to be a shepherd, be a shepherd. That was not the case, was it? Did they have problems and things to do in life? May we shudder to think of using that as an excuse before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So they praised the name of God. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the Holy Spirit is leading. The shepherds said one to another. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when the Lord appeared and then he vanished? Remember what they said? Didn't our hearts burn within us? That's the difference when the presence of God is involved. How did that happen? Did they make it happen or did God make it happen for them? God had to get them to talk about why they were so upset. Remember? And then he they said, wait a minute, you're asking us why we're so upset? What planet are you from? The disciples were saying this to the Lord. Don't you know? You know, we do the same thing to God today. Don't you know? As if God doesn't know anything that's going on in your life and mine. We complain. This is not right. That's not right. You know why? Because we're full of ourselves. See, listen. The way of humility. And God has to humble us because we don't even humble ourselves. We can't. We can't. We're wasting our times. God brings us closer to him. If we place ourselves in a place where he can do the work. His work, not ours. So there they are. They say, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Do you think they had any idea, any doubt? They didn't even see it. They said, let's go see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This is the difference when God is making things known unto his people. And they came with haste. Isn't that amazing? To see what God said. There was a little bit of excitement there. And now he substantiates their faith and their ability to witness. Look at this in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they went back to their sheep and waited till next Sunday. Right? They had a lot of things to do. And so they went back to work. Do you think work is anywhere on the radar? And God is not wanting us to be slothful in that. But there's a balance, and only he can give us that balance. If it's put in our hands, into our wit and our understanding, you will find that God will have no room in our life. Maybe on Sunday, but we won't really seek him and walk with him if it's left up to our nature. So, and when they had seen it, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, what time was it when the angel showed up? What time was it that the shepherds were watching their sheep? Was it at nighttime? I don't know how much time has lapsed here. Time it took them to go there? It's still maybe dark, early morning? I don't know. You think they're thinking about food or how tired they might be? That's the strength of the Lord. That's not even a thought. That's not even a thought. You remember when the disciples went off to go get food for the Lord, and the Lord met the woman at the well? And the Lord says, Master, eat. He says, I've got meat to eat of that you don't know of. And what are the disciples, the keen intellect of the disciples? Who brought them food? Did you bring them food? I didn't bring them food. The woman just left. She was carrying pots. There they are. She left them, remember? She couldn't have carried them any food. He said, I've got meat to eat of that you don't even know about. And that is to do the will of my Father. He just feasted as he was witnessing to the woman of the well. And notice this. Listen, look at the work of the Spirit. And all they that heard it, what these shepherds were sharing concerning the Lord, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know why it brought wonder? The Holy Spirit was being released. The Holy Spirit was doing a work. It wasn't their finesse, their oratory abilities, their articulation. It was the work of God. We look too much to ourselves. Well, if I can only do it this way, that way or the other, I can get it done. Yep, we can. God won't be in on it, but we'll get it done, won't we? We're so proud of that. I see some people naming their construction companies. Get her done. Yep, we can do it, can't we? But where's God in on that? Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen. Listen, as it was told them. What will we do with the gift of God that has been given to you and I? Will we allow the Lord and present it back to God? That's our lives. God, if you need to break me, that you might be glorified, teach me and show me. Show me your way. If I can't rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, there's no problem with the Word of God, is there? Then the problem must be right here. So today, you and I who are saved have seen this thing which has come to pass. But has it affect us? Has it affected us? And is it affecting us as it did the shepherds? Because I am convinced, no doubt in my mind, that is God's will. That's how the world gets flipped upside down. By Christ in you, being able to glorify Himself by your grace. And you know what that does? That strengthens the faith. Those shepherds were going, do you think they stopped talking about that? Wait, did they? The angels, the babe, just like it was said. We preached the word of God, and all of a sudden, we who had no credibility or credentials in front of public life, all of a sudden now everybody was listening to us. You know, they knew that it wasn't them. They knew it was the Lord. What was one of the first things that got taken notice of when all those souls got saved at Pentecost? They're Galileans. The uneducated men. And here we are, the sophisticated ones, listening to them. Why? Because of God in them. Why will anybody ever listen to you and I if it's not God in us? Would you stand? As we consider this Christmas in 2021, on the horizon of 2022, God wants to show us great and mighty things that we don't know yet. That He might awe us. Remember the cup that He wants to fill? That's our lives. He wants to fill our cup to the top. That's for you and me. To amaze and glorify the Lord. But the overflowing is for your family, your church family, and then to the world. If that's not taking place, where's the problem? Where's the problem? And God gives us an invitation to hand it over to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Spirit and Your truth, Lord. I pray that You would do a work in our hearts and minds to point us to the truth for Your glory and our blessing. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.